This podcasting, it's never going to catch on.
Uh-oh.
The Ray Foley Podcast.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
A Today FM original podcast.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!
Hello! Hey, thanks for downloading our podcast. You've gone onto the stream, your podcast provider of choice. You've clicked in to subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. Look for an image of my fat face from a year and a half ago. I've lost a few pounds since then, I'll have you know. I've lost a few pounds since then.
Oh, I know. And the reason I know and is it's because up to, you tell me.
It's up to JP to concur with that position.
He has, guys.
And the gang's all here.
Hi.
Now we're all here. Let's do a podcast. Ray Foley in the bum. In the bum in the chair. Not Ray Foley in the bum. Ray Foley's bum is in the chair. Ray Foley's bum is in the bum chair. And JP's bum chair is filled with JP's bum.
It is indeed.
Right this here. Afternoon as well. Right or this here. Evening. This is after the show. We've recorded this after the show. We used to do, back in the old days, we used to do a podcast. In the good old days of just a bit of fun for your lunchtime, nothing too serious. We used to do a podcast every single day after the show, filled to the brim, brimming with all-you-can-eat podcast-only material. And thinking back to those glorious days, that was when, in my humble opinion, when we did some of our finest work.
In the stuff that didn't make to the radio.
Yeah.
You're making big promises about this new podcast.
Oh, this is not going to live up to any of that because there's a whole editorial process now. Whereas back when we were 28, 27, 28, doing a podcast... We definitely did and said things in our podcast only material that would get us fired or in court or even imprisoned.
Have the archives been purged?
Purged within an inch of their lives.
In an acid bath.
The hard drives have been smashed with a lump hammer. Yeah. And I did that thing where I got a super powerful magnet and stuck it to the side of the hard drive. And hopefully that has done... the job. My wife has no idea as well, though, because usually, as you know, after the show, I run out of the building as fast as I can in order to get the quickest train, Lewis or bus home, depending on the evening. And now I'm here and my wife thinks I'm cooking the dinner.
Oh, excellent.
So joy of joys, I'm not cooking the dinner because I'm recording a podcast.
Kate, it's going to be more of a supper today. More of a supper.
A podcast supper. Hang on.
It's ringing.
She's looking at the phone now and she's going, who's that ringing me now?
Sure, he's on the ring.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak with Mrs. Raymond Foley, please?
Speaking.
Mrs. Foley, I'm. My name's...
Faye?
Jack.
Jack. Oh, hi, Jack.
No, this isn't a hijack. This is just a phone call. My name is Jack. I'm ringing from the records department. And our records show that you are married to the hottest, most gorgeous afternoon radio presenter on Irish radio. I just
want to... Can you have me a little confused?
Yeah, it's a wrong number.
No, sorry. You're looking for Jenny.
Oh, hang on a minute. Shots fired. That's absolutely unnecessary.
Hey, can I ask you a question? It's JP here. Sorry, I'm butting into your private phone call.
JP's here as well.
Can I ask you a question? The way you introduced your amazing lady wife as Mrs. Raymond Foley there.
Mm.
When you took the plunge, Kate, did you ever have pause? Did you ever have a moment where you thought, do I really want to take this idiot's name?
She didn't.
My name.
And I didn't, JP. That's the irony. I never took it.
By the way, this man was there. he was the best man.
I was, wasn't I?
Yeah. And JP did not absorb the fact that actually she didn't. She had no intention of taking the name.
No, never.
Because she wanted to, because, well, the story goes, well, you can tell the story, love. Go on.
I just prefer my own name.
That's it.
Basically, yeah, it's too much. I was too much to get used to someone else's name. I have my own name.
Kate,
I like it.
Kate Carolyn, and so she will become Kate from Kate Carolyn, which is a lovely alliteration, to Kate Foley, which would be weird. So
there's nothing wrong with your name. I just had my own name already. I didn't feel the need to change it.
Yeah, but my name is Ray Foley.
Yeah. Your name didn't
That's
change.
Already
so
my name. Yeah,
mine.
That's already my name. And your name is already Kate
But
Carol.
Some couples do do the thing where the man takes the woman's name.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Well, that's hang true. On. Ray, you never even thought of that, Ray.
Ray Carolyn. I sound like the
it
man.
Could be a motor dealer.
It sounds good.
I was. What'd you say?
A motor dealer.
You say use cars.
Yeah.
Ray Carolyn cars
for your best deals.
I was going to say I sound like the man who delivers your coal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carolyn Fuels.
Yeah, okay.
Ray Carolyn with his sooty fingers.
Coal is getting delivered these days.
His big boots. Ray, could you take off your shoes before you bring in the coal? Yeah, Mrs. Foley, no problem. I'll bring your coal in over the shoulder.
I'll take the back entrance.
Do you want the smokeless? This is, how many smokeless, Mrs. Foley? And how many bales of briquettes? And do you want any fire lighters?
And Kate's got the sheets down in the back passage.
So what? You leave our sex life out of this. That's not for this podcast. Kate, I'm just ringing to let you know. This is breaking news, by the way, in both of our lives. We're doing a podcast now. And that means I'm not cooking the dinner tonight because we're recording a podcast.
Convenience.
See you later.
first time recording a pod.
Bye.
Auntie cut her off.
Always great to chat. That's my beloved wife, Kate Carolyn Foley there. So podcast is what we're doing. And I'm trying to remember all the old bits. What do you recall of our old podcast? I know we had uber diehard fans of the old podcast. So if you have any recollections, please feel free to share them. The usual email address applies. It's jp@todayfm.com. Was that our old? It's foley@todayfm.com was the old one. Our new one for the show and for anything on the show is jp@todayfm.com. For any email only or for podcast only emails, record them in. And we'll read them out on the...
If you've got feedback on us as humans, as people, if you have feedback on the radio show, we want to hear it. If you've got an issue in your life that you reckon Ray Foley could steer you in the right direction on, get in touch.
Maybe include a phone number as well and we can give you a ring back and have a chat. All the things then that we used to do sort of a... I remember we would critique the show.
Oh, we'd break down and review the show.
We would say how the show went. Invariably, we'd all agree that it was dreadful and it was only a matter of time before we were cancelled. We'd also swear a lot on the podcast-only material. Are we allowed to do that now?
I think there's a certain quota of swears we can include yet.
Really? Are you serious?
I don't think we haven't been told that we can't swear.
Well, what's the quota then? What's that mean?
We don't have to... the only thing we can't do...
Shite!
I think that's fine. The only thing we can't do
you
is...
You big shite!
I'm still fine. The only thing we can't do is breach...
Feck off, you old shite!
Also fine. The only thing we can't really do is breach super serious broadcasting regulations that would bring the station and us as individuals into disrepute beyond our already famously poor standards on the radio.
Well, does the fact that we're not on every day between two and a half, four, is that not... disastrously bringing the station into disrepute is the fact that they give us carte blanche to do our witterings and waffle our nonsense. Can I say bollocks?
Well, you have.
But like, is that allowed?
Well, I'll tell you what, listen back to the podcast and if stayed in, you know it was okay. And if it's not there, you know.
So yeah, the fact that it occurs every day and they continue putting the money in the account at the end of the month means... that they're perfectly fine with us dragging the reputation of the company through the mud.
Or they're not paying attention.
Well, that's more than likely, most likely, what's occurring. So then we would do that. We'd say what's on the podcast. We'd do your emails. And that's about it. Isn't that usually the
extent? More or less, but sometimes these podcasts will go on for like 45 minutes. We're not committing to that.
No. Let's podcast your face. Wasn't that a thing?
Yes.
Once we get into the actual podcast material, I would shout, let's podcast your face. Shite! Feck! Let's podcast your face!
This is a practical impossibility. It's ringing.
Ray, what? Love the show.
Hey. This is the Ray Foley Podcast.
What have you got for me over there?
In the Echo today, Ray, headline reads, Dragon Pushers Needed. Dragon.
Drug pushers?
No.
They're looking
Ray.
For drug pushers?
No.
I've heard of drug pushers. What's a dragon?
Well, a dragon is a mythical animal, and they need people to push it.
You need to push a mythical dragon.
Pushers are needed to get the Dragon of Shandon around Cork City on Halloween. The people behind the annual festival at Cork Community Art Link say, we need pushers to push our spooky floats. It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello there. I'm calling about the dragon pushers.
Hi, how are you?
It's Ray Foley
calling.
Thanks so
much for having me on.
This is Casey, is it?
It is Casey, yeah.
Casey, are you a dragon pusher? Or are you a dragon? Or what's your...
I'm not. I am the project manager, so I am trying to get all these dragon pushers in order.
Right, okay. And in terms of the dragon, is it one big dragon or a number of smaller dragons?
So we have one massive dragon that we need pushers for, and then we have a number of other floats that we also need pushers for. So we have about 10 floats total in varying in size.
Okay, and how many people are you looking for to be pushing your dragons and your floats?
We are about 40 to 45 people we need to push these floats through Cork.
Are they not?
We're looking for quite a few.
Yeah, I was thinking though, the float, did floats obviously not. Well, I'm guessing, do they have no engine or any means of moving them already? They need to be physically pushed, do they?
No, they need to be physically pushed on wheels. Yeah, okay. No engine at all, so physically pushed.
Are they very heavy? I imagine that the dragon is the heaviest, is it?
The dragon is by far the heaviest because it's the biggest float. It's about 40 odd foot long.
Oh,
and they all really vary in weight. It just depends. Like, a lot of them are lighter because we use lighter materials. We use a lot of paper mache. We use a lot of tape, and we try keep them as light as we possibly can, you know.
Okay. Well, what's your smallest one then?
The smallest one, we have a little teacup.
Okay, I'll go for that then. Yeah, sign me up.
Myself, a little teacup made out of solitaire.
Myself, JP, and 10 lads will push your teacup for you. No bother.
Oh, sure, that's ideal. We'll be started for the night then.
There'll be more dad than teacup. You won't be able to see the teacup behind it.
Casey,
we'll put
this
one
is just
sitting in it.
It's not just a case of shoving a thing down the road, though. Do you have to animate or bring to life the floats? Like, do they move in parts?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, we do have a rehearsal beforehand, so we do teach them how to move the floats properly, but they will be in full costume and face paint, so there is a bit of a performance to it, you know.
Oh, class. What's the costume?
They're all different themes, so it just depends on the theme of the float. They're all different, all very Halloween, you know, very scary, spooky, that kind of a thing.
I gotcha. So they match whatever it is you're pushing. So it's not one of these situations, because you've seen them, I suppose, the Chinese dragons that you might see on the various spectacles, where they're all dressed in black and they sort of fade into the background. Your pushers are incorporated into the theme or the show itself.
Oh, 100%. 100%. They're as important as the floats themselves, you know?
Now, talk to me. I've a loose grasp of the topography.
I knew you were going to use that word, by Jesus, and you didn't disappoint me.
I have a loose grasp, a fairly good grasp, I'd say, of the topography.
There it is again.
Of Cork City, right? Are we going anywhere near Patrick's Hill? Because I'd be worried about coming down there at speed with a big dragon dragged down in front of me.
We're going down Shandon Street, across the bridge, and then into the city. So up North Main Street, and then you turn onto Castle Street, and we finish on the Cold Quay.
Okay, so it's fairly flat and fairly manageable then. There's going to be no runaway dragons.
The Shandon is the only kind of hilly part.
Yeah, no, it's not, even at that, it's not particularly steep. It's manageable enough, isn't it?
It's manageable, it's definitely manageable. And like I said, again, we do teach them how to do it and all. So.
Do you have an age window for your pushers then? I suppose they need to be fit and healthy at least.
I'm fit and healthy, obviously, and then, of course, over 18.
Over 18, yeah, for insurance purposes. That's
exactly,
great.
Exactly, that's it. Exactly.
How is the parade funded? Are you looking for donations, or what's the story?
We are, so we actually have a GoFundMe running at the minute. If you you can find our GoFundMe, it's linked on all of our socials, or if you just look up Dragon of Shandon 2023 GoFundMe, we are looking for donations to bring the dragon back to the streets again. We are a charity, so every little helps, you know.
Brilliant. Give us that again. Sorry, it's a GoFundMe. Just do a search for Dragon of Shandon. Yeah?
Dragon of Shandon 2023. And you should find it. It should pop up.
Gotcha. If anyone wants to apply to be a pusher, you have an email address here. It's info@corkcommunityartlink.com. Is that right?
That's exactly it. And even if you don't want to be a pusher, we have so many different ways you can get involved. So please just email us with any interest you may have and we'll get back to you.
Well, it's on Halloween night itself, is it?
It is. Halloween night, and the parade is starting at 7 p.m.
Cool. It's a great way to spend the night then, being involved in a parade. It's kind of different as well, like compared to just doing trick-or-treating or messing around. You can go and get involved in the parade. It looks fantastic.
Exactly. And I mean, there's hundreds of participants. You'll get to meet a lot of people and thousands come out to the street to watch it. So it really is. It's an amazing event.
Brillo pads. Info at corkcommunityartlink.com. Casey Walsh, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, madam.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me on.
This is the Ray Foley podcast.
John's been on. John in Galway. This is the born in 1978 was John. We're looking at the popular names from comparing 50 years ago to now. John and Mary were the most common names then. Today it's Jack and Emily. 0874 100102. Love the show. Hey, John in Galway, born 1978. And my wife Mary, born in 1975. I kid you not. Get the feckin' crunchies out of the car. Hello, father. Do you do that all the time? Another Mary, is it there on voice note as well? I think it's Mary. Mary?
Ray, Mary will never come back as a popular name because it's been battered to Jesus, literally. I'm a Mary from 1962 and I got Catherine and Bridget at the back of it as well. So I'm Mary Catherine Bridget. You can't get any more Irish than that.
That's a proper nun's name you've got there. Sister Mary Catherine Bridget.
And people are running from Marys. Please believe me. Love the show.
Hey.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers, Mary. Let me call my stats guy.
Okay. It's to the CSO we go.
Let's go to the CSO. Hey, it's ringing. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, is that Colette?
Yeah, hiya, how's it going?
Hi, Colette, it's Ray Foley here from Today FM. How are you?
Great, thanks. How are you getting on?
We're good. We're crunching numbers here, Colette. Fascinated between now and 50 years ago. It was 1973 then, and there's a few articles in the newspapers about how Irish life has changed. And I suppose, particularly this section of 50 years, it goes, like, we always talk about, you know, like mobile phones or just general life in Ireland, technology, Twitter, whatever, the internet. Life has changed so much in Ireland in the last 50 years. And it's looking at these figures, you can really see it. We're just talking about John's and Mary's. They were the most popular names at the time.
Yeah, well, the CSO put out a publication. It's looking at Ireland and the EU at 50. So it's using that kind of 50 years window to look at social and economic change in Ireland, with our membership of the EU. So in terms of baby names, John and Mary were the most popular baby names in Ireland in the 60s, the 70s, and even up to the 80s. But they've fallen off in popularity since then. In 1973, there were 2,400 boys called John. In 2022, there were 36.
Only 36? That's huge! Yeah, that's a massive drop-off!
Exactly. And in 1973, there were 1,500 girls called Mary, and in 2002 it was 187.
Wow.
That's, so there's been a big change.
And there was none of that, obviously, in 1973 of people going, well, what are you calling yours? Mary. Well, in that case, I can't possibly call mine Mary. Whereas that happens all the time now. It's like, you can't steal the name from somebody else.
There's been a big change in the number of unique names that we use in Ireland. So there was over 2,600 unique names in the 1970s recorded, whereas now it's almost 9,000 unique names. And over the last couple of years, Jack has really dominated in terms of the most popular name for boys. Almost since 2002, it has been the most popular name for boys.
What is it about Jack that in the last 20 years? Are there any significant? Well, there's a Jack Lynch Tunnel, I suppose, in Cork. Any other Jacks worth noting?
Oh, it's all down to the Jack Lynch Tunnel. That's obviously the big draw.
Well, are you from Cork?
I don't know. It's a different. It's a variation on John, I suppose, as well. You know,
so it's a bit of a
used to be a pet name for John. So maybe that is. It's kind of a variation on John. I'm not sure.
I think people like baby names though as well. Jack sounds nice on a baby. Do you know what I mean? I think it is, genuinely. People don't ever think of like, what's a child going to be like at 15? Nah, he's going to be a Jack, I suppose.
Jack.
But that's all right,
And like, there's more variety in girls' names over that time. Like, so Sarah, Emily, Grace, Fia have been kind of in and out of the top three names for the last number of years. But last year it was Emily.
Yeah, so. Well, there's huge variety generally now. I'm sure people are just picking random words and giving the child fork. Let's call the child. How many forks are there this year? So there are random names.
Yeah, and there's names like Geraldine, Jacqueline and Deirdre, which would have been very popular in the 70s, and Gerald, and they now aren't even in the top 100 rankings anymore. But names like Rose, Arthur and Henry are all coming back in. They're all kind of enjoying a resurgence.
Wow. Very Anglican, so
that's kind of
yeah.
Interesting.
One of the ones I saw as well was about mortgages, because in 1973 you could get a house for half nothing.
The price of a house in 1973 is definitely, there's a stark difference between then and now.
Yeah.
So in 1973, the average price for a residential property was £7,000, which is about 9,000 euros.
Wow.
Whereas today, the average price as of June 2023 was 318,000 euros.
That's a, it's phenomenal.
But wages were different then as well, you know.
Yeah, inflation and wages and the difference.
Yeah.
But it's all the same, it's still a huge difference.
Massive difference, yeah.
And then the wage difference then was, talk me through that, because the amount of money, people weren't making thousands at the time a week, were they?
No, so the average industrial wage per week in 1973 was about £30, which is equivalent to about 38 euros.
Right.
Whereas in 2022, the average weekly industrial wage was 825 euros.
Yeah. Unless you're Ray Darcy, I mean.
He's crazy.
It must have to do with the name Ray, isn't it?
Let's not get bogged down in the names and the comparisons of financials. I was looking at the cars as well. There's no Teslas in 1973. They don't show up at all.
No.
But there were Porsches at the time.
Yeah, that was a kind of a quirky thing that emerged, that in 1972, there were two Porsches registered and licensed for the first time, whereas in 2022, it was 376 new Porsches. Still not huge, but it's a big difference from two in 1972.
So two lads in 1972 were driving around in Porsches in Ireland. You're guaranteed the entire rest of the nation hated them. Is there a statistic for how many people hate everyone else, I suppose? Hated those two lads. And Toyota was only a new concept, was it, in 1972?
Yeah, there was only one Toyota registered in 1972, which seems unbelievable now, considering it's the most popular brand now. In 2022, there was over 15,000 Toyotas registered in 2022.
Jakers. And then drink as well, I suppose. We've always been a nation of drinkers, but we never did much drinking like 50 years ago. People were going out to drink much more so than they do now, and buying drink for the house. Is that right?
Yeah, well, what I thought was interesting was almost kind of a social history element in the types of goods that were included in the inflation basket in the 1970s. So the CSO in 1973 used to collect the price of a gin and tonic and a vodka and white lemonade as a lounge bar sale, which would probably indicate, you know, that there was many bars at the time wouldn't serve women in bars. You had to drink in a lounge.
Women would be drinking in the lounge and then the men would be in the bar. Is that right?
Yeah, and they traditionally didn't drink pints either. It was seen as unladylike, so it tended to be kind of spirits, or you know, so that's what we collected then, whereas now we obviously only collect the price of a measure of a spirit without any mixer and as a pure bar sale. And another interesting one from that was that in 1975, the CSO only collected the price of a bottle of wine as a restaurant only sale. So there was no real home sales of wine at that time.
Yeah, sure, people wouldn't have been buying, there wouldn't be wine in your supermarket rent in 1973. You'd be going to, the only time you drink wine would be over dinner in a restaurant. So that's the only time they'd see it. It's mad, isn't it?
Differences, you know.
Is this up on your website? Can we go and have a look on the CSO?
Yeah, it's all up on the website, and it's all freely available for anyone to go and have a look. So it's cso.ie. You can go and have a look at this, and we've loads of chapters on all various different changes in society and in the economy over the last 50 years to mark this momentous
occasion. Amazing, yeah, I suppose, yeah. We've been part of the EU now for 50 years. Colette Keane, thanks so much for talking to us this afternoon.
Thanks so much.
Ray Foley.
Oh, here we go, here come the details.
Weekday afternoons from 2 on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey.